Hip-hop is everywhere in art, fashion, politics. Born in the South Bronx in the early 1970s, pioneers like Fab Five Freddy, Grandmaster Flash, and Futura spread hip-hop to every corner of the city. Then in 1982, it traveled to Europe. Allison McCabe looks back at the path to that pivotal moment in hip-hop's evolution.
After graduating from college in 1978, Michael Holman moved to New York for a job on Wall Street, but he says his interest led him elsewhere.
I'd take myself to the one train stop on Hudson and Chambers, and these trains would roll in with these burners, graffiti burners, like covering the train from top to bottom. And I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was just like this sort of beautiful vandalism.
Perusing the Village Voice, Holman read about the artist Fred Braithwaite, who went by Fab Five Freddy, and served as an informal spokesperson for the Fabulous Five graffiti crew.
He was basically saying in this little blurb in The Voice that the Fabulous Five will come to your place of business or your home and do giant graffiti burners, and we price it out per the square foot. And I thought, wow, you know, that's really cool.
There was a phone number, so he called. And in 1979, Holman, Freddie, and another artist, Dan Peskett, threw a soiree called the Canal Zone Party to connect with other emerging talents, including Basquiat. Later that year, Freddie showed his work on canvas at a gallery in Rome. Then he turned heads in New York with a Warhol-inspired soup can subway train mural. As Freddie told WNYC, art helped him to build bridges between worlds.
You know, it was unusual for somebody black and from Brooklyn to insert themselves in the art world. It just didn't happen. So right. It was like, oh, these are some cool people. I think I can figure out a way in. And they embraced me.
As Freddie's influence grew, he brought DJs Afrika Bambaataa and Jazzy J downtown to perform at the Mud Club. And he took Christine and Debbie Harry uptown to the Bronx to see Grandmaster Flash, an exchange commemorated in Blondie's 1981 number one hit song, Rapture. Debbie Harry also introduced rappers Funky Four plus One More when they performed at The Kitchen in Soho.
Check it out.
Shop rock. Don't stop.
Just get on your mind.
When you're ready to rock.
Because the sun won't shine. The rain won't stop. We got the sound. You call punk rock.
And Blondie brought them along as musical guests on Saturday Night Live for Rap's national TV debut.
Are you ready for this?
We're ready for this.
What we just can't miss.
We just can't miss.
What we just can't miss.
With a beat like this.
When English punks The Clash came to New York to record Sandinista in 1980, they also caught the beat, says the artist Futura, known then as Futura 2000.
At that time, they had a record called Magnificent Seven, Magnificent Dance. It was a big upbeat song, and it was being played on WBLX, which was a black station in here in New York.
Ring, ring, 7 a.m., move yourself to go again. Cold water in the face.
When The Clash played a 17-date concert series in New York in June of 1981, the band enlisted Grandmaster Flash as one of its opening acts. Futura painted live backdrops on stage. And when The Clash took the tour to Europe, Futura came along, this time painting and rapping his own manifesto.
Graffiti is a thing that's kind of hard to explain. It ain't just running around, spray painting your name. It's more than that if you want to be the best.
At the same time, back in New York, Michael Holman brought ex-Sex Pistols impresario Malcolm McLaren to a park jam in the Bronx.
He's dressed like a pirate from the Penzance on acid. Pantaloon pants and bright orange this and that and crazy, you know, like Culture Club.
More like Culture Clash, but Holman says something magical happened.
Jazzy gets on the turntable and starts to scratch records and quick cut and do all these isolated, you know, beats. And I'm saying to Malcolm, see what he's doing? That's like special mix DJing. And see that kid over there? He's like breakdancing. And see that over there? That's graffiti. And Ike C on the mic, man, that's rapping. And Malcolm, like a light bulb goes on. And he's like, I get it.
McLaren understood that like punk, hip-hop wasn't just music. It was the future. So in September of 81, he asked Holman to put together a show featuring DJing, MCing, breaking, and live graffiti art as an opener for the band Bow Wow Wow. That led to a weekly gig at a club called Negril, where B-boys battled on the dance floor. Another McLaren associate, Ruza Cool Lady Blue, got things going at the Roxy, where she added one more element to the mix.
McDonald's knows your double Dutchie's really hard to beat.
cause we'll jump in. You do something magic with your feet.
1980 worldwide double Dutch champions, the Fantastic Four, caught Blue's eye when she saw them in McDonald's commercials. But teammate Dolores Finlayson says the connection between Double Dutch and the other elements of hip-hop was foundational.
Every jump, whether it was single rope, mostly Double Dutch, though. I don't care if you were clapping your hands or whatever you were doing, you were rhyming to it. It always came hand in hand. Always that synchronized sound and the rhythm and the beat and the rhyme and the ropes. For us, yeah, making part of hip-hop, that's just where it all came from.
In late November 1982, Blue and the French journalist Bernard Zecri brought dozens of hip-hop artists, including the Fantastic Four, Futura, and Fab Five Freddy, to Europe for what was dubbed the New York City Rap Tour.
Well, so off that by Freddy, take it dip, prepaid to the femme coaches, the elder, cool rap, red. I just a cool dollar, move to my mechanic. I shall pass it to the good day, New York City.
Freddy was among those who released a song to promote it, his half rapped in French. And when the tour kicked off in Paris, Futura rapped, with assist from Freddy and guitarist Mick Jones of The Clash.
New York City, rock the house, and graffiti, rock shock the house now.
And Paris, France, shock the house. The people in Paris, rock the house.
Photographer Jeanette Beckman was on assignment for Melody Maker to cover the London show.
It was a weekly music paper, so we had to find content every week. So we'd have these weekly meetings, and we would all sit around going, who's going to do what? So I put up my hand saying I wanted to go and cover it. I didn't really know what it was going to be like.
She'd been shooting two or three bands a week, mostly punk acts in small clubs.
It would be dark, people pogoing, and, you know, people spitting and shouting.
Beckman had never encountered anyone scratching, rapping, breaking, making graffiti art, or doing double Dutch, let alone at the same time.
I thought it was, for me, a kind of like a renaissance moment, to be honest, because I had never seen anything like it in my life. And it had so much good energy. And this seemed just, to me, full of kind of joy, I have to say.
The tour went on to Germany, then wrapped in the States in L.A., within the space of a year, hip-hop was showing up in films such as Style Wars, Wild Style, and Flashdance, lighting up fans on both sides of the Atlantic and beyond. For NPR News, I'm Allison McCabe.